town one afternoon, attending some business affairs, when I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. Then a young man came running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him, please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up to me and he said, I was running to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was running home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl, leaving to answer the call. I know it sounds strange, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and the burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, and you've tried everything you can possibly think of, but there's no relief to be found, listen, that very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf, and the lame is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. You'll be running to catch the crippled man. Did he pass by this way? He was running home to tell everybody what Jesus did today. And the dumb man was telling myself and the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe if you don't trust me. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all.
My goodness, there's a lot of truth in that right there, isn't it? Wow. Think of all of our loved ones that before the age of their bodies got them down where maybe they couldn't walk, couldn't breathe, couldn't see. Man, if they've been born again, next time we see them, oh my goodness alive. Mm. Oh, that's good real. That's good stuff. Well, I'd love for you to read with us today. If you want to turn to Revelation chapter 19, I'm going to be probably in Matthew's Gospel 21. And in Revelation 19, there's a couple of things I want to read to you today. When I look at the scriptures, sometimes, I've got a revival running at the end of July. And the preacher down there said, I want you to send me something about yourself. Now, y'all know me very well. Y'all know I don't like to do that. I won't have my name out there on the front. It ain't my church. It belongs to God. And I don't like to talk about me. I told Charlene, I got a hard time with that. So I figured up how long I've been preaching. That's a long time. Gosh. I think, if I got it right, somewhere around 49, I think that's about right. I've been here close to 35. It's a long time. Some of you folks wouldn't even around. And Lord knows I won't be around much longer, all right? But that's been a long time. If you figure up how many times that I preached. I've been in these scriptures a lot of times, and a lot of different times, and a lot of times same spot. I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it that way. And a lot of preachers that I know, Charlene's daddy was one that was really helpful to me, never talked about the repeat. He always talked about, to me, the leadership. And that leadership doesn't come from you leading. It's God's leading. And whenever God would lead you to a spot or a thought, if it's real, it's going to last. If it's not real, in other words, it's you instead of God leading, it won't last. It'll go away. But when God leads it, there's a reason behind it. There's a reason behind it. This morning, in the 19th chapter, that's future. Now, if you look in your Bible, and you've been around the Bible a little bit, if you haven't, just trust me on that. There's a future time coming. This book has a lot of our past, and it has our present, if you're able to understand it. But it's got a future. And in the future, we don't have a timetable if it's 2029 or 2035 or one day it's going to happen. And when it happens, if you are present, you can say, I remember this. And that's kind of like a lot of things about what happens. We might say, well, I've always had a good past, 4th of July celebration. You might go to a fireworks show, whatever. You say, oh, we did that 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But you know what? If the Lord tarries and we have one this next week, you ain't never had one of them yet till you catch up to it, right? You got to catch up to it. You got to get up there to where it's at. Revelation is going to describe some things that we ain't there yet. But it's going to happen. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. I'm not going to read all this, but I want to spot read some verses and I'll try to tell you where I'm going. Verse 2. For truth and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Skip down just with me just a couple of verses down. Verse 6. And I heard as it was the voice of a great multitude, a lot of folks, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You got to know, you got to think with me, you got to know what reigneth means. You got to understand that's a past tense word, which means that's already happened. All right? So they're praising him for what has already happened. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. You may have heard of that through the years. You may have heard about the marriage supper of the Lamb, which will be mentioned in verse 9. You may have heard about there's going to come a time when Christ is going to come get his bride, which is the church, and take him home, as we call it, to heaven. That's a kind of an understanding. Look with me now. Let's be glad. Verse 7, let's be glad, give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. It's time. That's kind of would be a good way to say it. Verse 9. And he saith unto them, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Ain't that something? Ooh. Okay. I got to go on. And he saith unto them, These are the true sayings of God. It's kind of like giving us a kind of an open window and letting us look in and see. Because this is what John the Revelator, the writer here, was able to get this vision, this sight, and see. And he looked in there and that's what he saw. verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant. Don't do this to me. If I can say it this way, I'm just like you. I'm a fellow servant. I'm seeing this for the first time too, basically. Okay? Watch. And I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now here, watch happen. Watch what happens. He's looking, he's seeing. He's got his eyes are open to the fact of all these things that are happening to the future. And look what he sees next. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His head were many crowns, a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were with him, which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. Two more verses, please. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May we pray together. Thank you, Father, for the reading of your word. God, I ask you to look in our hearts. God, speak to us today. God, how we need you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Prophetic words, future time. But that future time can come rather quickly. Our life is really, really quick. You look in the mirror today, you look a whole lot different than you looked 5 years ago. Think about that. Our time upon this earth is a measurement. We've got an appointed time. But as John the Revelator is looking upon this, he's given us in this latter sayings a little description. In fact, a few months ago, even this year, we used a thought or a message that we were around about the day that Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And upon this occasion, here is the Lord. He is sitting upon a white horse. And upon this white horse, he has many crowns. Now, you got to get your eyes off of this world's standards. He was sitting upon this white horse. This is what John saw. He looked and he saw, man, look upon this white horse. You know, a white horse is kind of rare. You can see all kinds of paints and colors and all that kind of stuff, but a true white horse is very rare. But it's pretty easy with God. Pretty easy. Therefore, Jesus is upon this white horse. And that's the first thing he saw. And upon that white horse was this man. And on this man, he had a wonderful name. You notice how it just doesn't come out and say Jesus right there. Notice that. He gives him a description. In fact, I hate to kind of use this analogy, but think about it. A lot of folks are known by their title. In fact, we see the president today. That's what we call him, right? A lot of folks call him Trump, but look, wait a minute. He deserves a little respect because he has been elected to be the president of our country, of our nation. Like it or not, he's our president, okay? And that's what you call it. Listen, when we see Jesus, you see a lot of folks like it and some don't. There's folks today that take God's name in vain on a regular basis. They don't care for God. I mean, in fact, the disrespect or not, they take God's name in vain just like they take a drink of water. But I, on the other hand, me, I look at the one that sits up on there. I see him as Jesus, but wait a minute. I see him as my Savior. I see him as the one that saved my soul. I see him as the one that makes it possible that I get to go to heaven. Friend, I have the utmost respect for him. But that's how people describe. It's a true righteous. You see, I know that he is perfect. I know that he's righteous. I know that he's holy. I can look at a lot of things before I ever get down to his name as Jesus. You see? In fact, that's how sometimes you're known. We may have to call a lot of things before we ever get down to your name. Think about it. Whenever people describe to you, do they call you honest? Are you friendly? You see, there's a lot of things that we could call you before we ever get down to your name. Friend, there's a lot of bad things you can call about me before you ever get down to my name. One thing that the Lord did was take away my sins. You see, there's a lot of bad things that God could call me, but I'm glad he was willing to call me one day. But quickly, think about what God's done. But what I wanted to call your attention to was that how Jesus was upon that white horse. Now, if you've ever been around horses, in the battle times, in the war times, the horses were these cavalry, as we would call it in our military term, but in the cavalry, men, they would take care of that horse. They would feed and water that horse before they eat. They'd brush that horse down. In fact, they made sure, because that was their mode of transportation to go into battle. And therefore, that horse was very respected. You took care of it. You know something? It was not a hard thing for God to describe this. It was a simple thing. And he used an analogy of something that meant and represented something. That stallion, as I could call it. That white horse, symbol of power. Symbol of respect, symbol of so many things. But as much as that was, the one that was the rider of that horse was the leader. The general. The one in charge. The one that knew everything. The one that would lead in battle. In fact, upon this description, this was everything. Wow, this is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. What a description. Man, wouldn't you like to have that title? That's only one person gets that title. One person. We might have a whole bunch of presidents of our country, but there's only one King of Kings, one Lord of Lords. Now you think with me. But this wasn't the case always. In fact, if I can look back at John the Revelator as he's seeing that, he thought, boy, that'll forever be etched in his mind. You'll always remember that. I told you years ago, and I'll repeat it again, my uncle had a white horse. I mean, solid white, mean as a snake. That horse was mean. And you didn't get around that horse. It was mean, but it was beautiful to look at. Powerful, strong, very structured. I couldn't tell you what it was made, what his breed was, all that kind. Man, I was too small, but I'm going to tell you something. That horse was mean. You just didn't get too close to that horse. Truth of it was, it had such power, moved. My uncle could handle him. You know, it was like, wow. Watch this very carefully. I remember that horse. I was a kid, but I remember that horse. I'll die if you ask me if I got my right mind before I die, which may not be, but the truth of it is, if I got my right mind, you ask me about that white, you ever seen a white horse? I say, yes, sir, I saw one. Strong. Put a saddle on that horse. Everybody looked at that horse. Can you imagine what Jesus was upon that white horse? Everybody would look. All the armies, all the folk, everybody could see that white horse. Stands out. One in a million, so to speak. But one day, as we told you earlier, one day Jesus is going to go into Jerusalem. He's going to make a journey, a trip. And you know, God has the capability of doing anything and everything. God can reroute my life at any point. I won't know about it, but I can pray, God, would you help me? And God can reroute my life and make that thing work out just perfect. And sometimes God reroutes my life and tragedy or hardship comes along and I think, why did God choose that way? God's pretty smart. God's smarter than I am. And the route that God has for me to take, He has a reason for it. One day, fixing to head into Jerusalem, He sends two of His disciples. He said, I want you to go down there and see a fella. When you get down there, there's going to be this donkey. He's going to be tied up. He's going to have a colt. They're going to be right there. And you get that and you bring it to me. And if a man asks you, you just let him know the Lord has need for it. Now, I know God's pretty smart. In fact, the Lord, you remember how we saw John the Revelator saw that, and I saw heaven open? Man, when the doors has opened, you look in. You know, you look in, you see. You ever go by a rich man's house and front door be open? If you ain't nosy, something's wrong with you. Yep. And friend, when the front door was open to heaven, there was that beautiful stallion, white stallion. One that sits on that stallion. You can see it because John the Revelator said, King of kings and Lord of lords. Wow. But you know what God did? The Lord didn't want to ride into Jerusalem on a white horse. You know what the Lord did? The Lord said, I got this donkey, a mule, one of the long-eared, rascal, stubborn, mule-headed, won't listen, won't do nothing, get on them, act like a fool. They'll bite you, they'll stomp on you, they'll kick you. That's the good traits of them, okay? And the Lord says, go get that. That's what I'm going to ride into Jerusalem. And you know what folks could have done on that day that Jesus rode in? You know what they could have done? Look at yonder and laughed at him. I've had some smaller horses in my time. They're called ponies. If you ever ride a pony and you come around a big horse, you'd have to know what I'm talking about, really. If you ever ride a pony and you're up around somebody that's got a big horse, you don't look eyeball to eyeball with them. You look up. They bigger than you. They run faster. They do more. And I remember them first ponies that I used to ride. Never thought about when you got one. But when you got the ability to buy your own horse, you got one of them bigger ones. You got the real kind. But you'll never forget them ponies. But people look down on folks that ride ponies, burros, donkeys. Your feet hang to the ground. Jesus, the Savior of the world, fixing to head down to Calvary, shed His blood. He could have told those disciples, go to this place, turn right, and bring me that white stallion that's parked right there. And bring that back to me. But Jesus didn't mind folks laughing at Him or making fun of Him. He didn't mind folks cursing and swearing Him. Like I've been guilty of and you've been guilty of. Jesus didn't look around and say, oh, they'll make fun of me if I ride in on a donkey. Jesus was willing to humble Himself and was willing, this ain't time for me to ride
that white horse. It ain't died. You see, right now, you can criticize God for everything you do wrong. You can blame God for everything wrong in your life. You can look at God and curse and swear and do all the things. You can take God's name and you don't have to get saved. You don't have to. You can die. You can stand before God and you can say, there's no way I'll ever kneel. There's no way I'll ever bow in front of God. You can say it. Won't be true. One day, you may never recognize Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords as you saw. We read it in Revelation. But one day, Almighty God, folks will stand right and left, good and bad, strong, big, little, don't matter, black, white, don't matter. You'll stand before God. And when you stand before God on that day, you would wish you could remember Him riding in upon a donkey. Because on that day, He was willing to humble Himself, even to die, even death on the cross for you and me. But out of all the things, He was willing to choose for Himself the best of the best, but He chose a donkey to ride on. Read there in Revelation, I'll come back later. I read in Revelation there where not only Jesus is upon that white horse, He's called Odin, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but it said His armies would follow Him, and His armies were riding upon white horses. I ain't figured this out. White horses, very rare. Very rare. Not very many of them. I've not seen a very few really white horses. Now, the Lone Ranger had one. And you know I had to mention him before I got through. He had one. I've seen that rascal 100 times or more. Probably last week. You don't like watching Lone Ranger, something's wrong with you. But anyhow. The truth of it is, that white horse is pretty. Bible says his armies. In fact, if you know your Bible a little bit, you'll actually figure it out that the armies that follow happens to be us-ins if you've been born again. Me and you get to ride. I don't ride, preacher. You will that day. If I had the time, we could tell you some stories about horse riding. But we better go on. The truth of it is, on that day, you'll jump on that horse's back and you'll ride and you'll be proud. On that day, you say, I never rode a horse in my life. Man, on that day, you'll be proud to get on that horse. Because you know what? On that day, you will follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what God could have chose? He could have chose an old nag for me and you to ride. He could have chose Shetland ponies for all of us. And we could have looked up at Him. And if God had said that, we'd all been happy. Just like when He chose that little donkey. You see, sometimes in our lives, God knows what's best for us. I didn't think it very much when He rode upon that donkey and they throwed palm leaves in the way and they sang song like Hosanna, glory to His name. On that day, when them folks sang that song to Jesus as He was going into Jerusalem, they probably done the best they could, but it couldn't have been too many, could it? Wasn't there that many folks in town? Probably wasn't very many good singers on that day. Didn't have time for a choir. Didn't have time for a big audience. But a friend of mine in Revelation, when heaven opens up, Jesus riding upon that white horse, His armies that follow Him, every one of us could be in tune with saying, glory, Hosanna, things like, and we could say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because we follow Him. On that day, you'll be proud. You see, because on the day that Jesus rode in on the donkey, I wonder if some of His disciples looked at around and said, what in the world is the Lord doing? He had never, ever entered Jerusalem riding a donkey before. In fact, the Lord rode on a boat. You remember that? He walked everywhere He went. This was a first and greatest opportunity to go into the capital of the world. And yet He chose to ride a donkey. Friend of mine, one day, me and you're going to make a choice. I've already made mine. One day I'll get to see that there's one thing very important about this King of Kings and Lord of... He don't say it. You don't hear Him talking right now. You know why? Because that general is going into battle. That general is already fixing to destroy evil from on the face of this earth. That's kind of the easy way to say it. But right here in that Revelation picture, time for repentance is actually over. It's a time, there is a time to be able to negotiate. There's a time to be able to say, I'm sorry. There is a time to repent, but friend of mine, there comes a time for judgment. And when Jesus entered in Jerusalem on that day, there was a time for repentance if you choose. And on that day, even His disciples could have made fun of Him, but the reality of it, they all made choices on that day what they were going to do with their lives. In fact, if I could quickly go through this, Judas chose to betray the Lord. 30 pieces of silver. Some of the disciples chose to deny the Lord and say, I didn't know Him. Other of the disciples even chose, when it come time to stand and be there, they ran. They forsook Him. What did you choose to do on that day? Well, preacher, I wasn't there that day. No. In fact, today's the day of salvation. Today, now is the accepted time. In fact, today is the day that you get to hear the story, that you get to understand what was going on, and you make a decision whether or not you're going to follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He may not look like it. He may look like just a bloody mass upon the Calvary's cross to shed His blood and die for mine and your sin. But He is the reason that me and you have life today. It's not because I'm a Baptist. It's not because I've been to a Methodist church. It's not because I drive by all kinds of church. It's because I knelt one day and asked Christ to come into my heart and life. What God has provided is a way. Can I look through this glass? What do I see? I remember one day looking through the glass and seeing me. It was like God was showing me and my life, and I was headed to hell. He may be showing you that today. You might not be seeing your future. You might not be seeing, because I left out a whole bunch of the stuff. But one of the things I could have left out that I could have said, that one day you'll stand before God. And if you'll give an account of things done in this body, whether it's good or bad. And one day when you stand before God on that day, guess what will happen? You're going to bow on your knees and you're going to confess that Jesus was the Christ. You may not do it now, but you'll do it one day.
Absolutely.
And friend of mine, today could be the day that you know Jesus. He could have got better, but he settled for a donkey. He could have give us worse, but he gave us the best. On the day that I got saved, I got the best God had to offer. And that was Jesus Christ. From that time, I got a home in heaven. I get to ride a white horse. I get to live with him forever. You tell me what's wrong with that picture. Now, what if you chose? If you choose to live without Christ, you choose hell. You choose burning in torment forever and forever. You choose never to be recognized by no one, because I'll never remember you no more once we're all judged. Now you tell me, what's the best choice? I want to tell you, I choose Jesus. He's made a difference in my life. May we have a song, Brother Gordon. This is an amazing story about what our future is like. What's amazing is God can take a snapshot and show you. It's not hard for God. In fact, the reason why you're here today is there's a lot of times in our own life we realize we have a need. We realize there's things wrong in our life. Friend, there's so much wrong in my life, but if it wasn't for the Lord, I'd have no hope. And I want you to know, Jesus is your only hope.
Yes.
That's it. If you will come to Him, He can save your soul. Give you a reason to live another day. But if you've not been saved, God, you might all be careful, because, friend, your sins are going to find you out and hell will be your home. Would you come today? May we stand and sing a verse of this, Brother Gordon. You need to come. You come today.